Scripture reading for this morning is taken from Psalm 127. A song of ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Aikwan, for reading this morning's scripture for us. Good morning, everyone. I'm James, an associate minister of Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Today, we take a break from Judges as we turn our attention to Psalm 127 for Children's Day. Happy Children's Day to one and all. Scripture tells us, just as Reverend Jordan mentioned just now, that as Christians, we are all God's children. Now, Children's Day isn't just a special day of celebration for our kids, but also for us all. Psalm 127 is a familiar psalm to many of us. It is one in a group of 15 psalms, beginning from Psalm 120 to 134, known as Song of the Ascents. It is one of the songs which pilgrims sang as they made their way to Jerusalem to celebrate a number of religious festivals, such as the Passover. Just like the National Day songs that we hear or sing when National Day is just around the corner. Psalm 127 is also classified as a wisdom psalm. Now, a wisdom psalm teaches us right living and right faith in the tradition of other wisdom writings in the Old Testament, such as Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, which we have covered, and also Job. Now, what wisdom can we draw from Psalm 127 with regard to our children? What instructions does God have for us to live right and to exercise faith in Him concerning our children? Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Let our hearts be good soil to receive your word concerning our children. Let your word take root and bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there are two sections to Psalm 127. If you can look at your own Bibles, there seems to be two paragraphs. Verse 1 to 2 form one part. Verses 3 to 5 form the next. Now, as Psalm 127 was sung by pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem, house in verse 1 probably refers to the temple, while city refers to the city of Jerusalem. But from a wider perspective, verses 1 to 2 can also refer to domestic life. In other words, they talk about life in the house or the family. Three main activities are mentioned: building a house, guarding a city, and laboring. The word vain is repeated three times. Now, the theme of verses 1 to 2 is this: domestic life independent of the Lord that doesn't involve God at all is meaningless. It is futile. Verses 1 and 2 say, it is meaningless to build any house independently of God. It is pointless to guard a city without divine protection. It is futile to prolong the day rising early and going late to rest with anxious toil to earn a living. Verse 2 concludes that, on the other hand, life that is dependent on the Lord is secure and satisfying as He gives sleep to His beloved. Now, verse 3 to 5 switches the spotlight to children, with verse 3 emphasizing that God's provision of children is both a blessing and a trust, while verses 4 to 5 point out that the divine provision of children benefits the security of the family. Families with many children in ancient days were seen as God's blessing on them. The children can form family representatives. They can protect the family in legal disputes and claims that take place at the city gate. Now, at first glance, these two sections seem unrelated to each other. Let's look at verse 3 in more detail to see if we can find some kind of connection between the two paragraphs. Now, in verse 3, as you can see from the slide, children is paralleled with fruit of the womb. Heritage is paralleled with reward. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Now, the word children or inheritance gives the picture of something that is left to an heir, or something given to another person as a possession or a trust. An inheritance brings with it great opportunity, potential, but it also requires responsible use. We call those who squander their inheritance away irresponsibly in Chinese as 败家子. However, we admire those who have used their inheritance well. They grow and expand their family business. A heritage is the heir's possession, a gift. But a heritage is also a trust that has to be developed, improved, and enjoyed by all. Children are such a gift from God, a gift that requires care and development if the child is to grow up to be righteous and wise. The idea of heritage highlights the value of the child. It also emphasizes the responsibilities of parents to build up, to watch over them, and to labor over or for the child. Building up, watching over, and laboring. Don't those words sound familiar? Aren't they mentioned in verses 1 and 2? Now, in verse 1, the word house, by it in Hebrew, has different meanings in the Old Testament. It can refer to physical buildings that families live in, or to the temple in Jerusalem that I mentioned earlier. It can also refer to households, even to the people of Israel. It can even refer to ruling dynasties, such as David's dynasty, when God promised David that he will build his house. Now, with the different possible meanings of house in verse 1, we can relate verses 1 and 2 to the responsibilities of parents towards children. Now, children is also paralleled with fruit of the womb. It is also linked to reward. Now, the link to reward further emphasizes children as gifts from God. Now, in the ancient world, we must remember that life was fragile. Infant mortality rate was high. Many infants died young. It was indeed a miracle if you could survive up to 10 years old. Hence, a child who lived and flourished was something for which parents would praise and thank God for. Indeed, no parent would ever dare to neglect or abuse such an important and precious gift from God. Now, we often see children as physical children. Recently, my wife and I found that one of my TTC classmates, Luke, was a pastor in the church of my colleague. So you can imagine how young my colleague is. My colleague said, Luke was my pastor when I was in children's ministry. He was also my youth pastor. My wife asked, does Luke have any children? No. Thinking we were disappointed, my colleague quickly added, But as children and youth pastor, Luke has many, many children. See, I'm one of them. Now, the parallel between children and fruit of the womb in verse 3 provides another way of understanding children. Old Testament scholar Nancy DeClaire Belford suggested that the parallel means children can also be seen as our hopes, our dreams, the projects that we have. Don't we often call our projects our babies that we are trying to complete to give birth to? Children could also refer to projects we are building, we are watching over, or we are growing them. Our children, or the fruit of our womb, could be a project to encourage recycling at home or in the community, or the hope and encouragement we give to seniors who wait anxiously every week for our visits to the old folks' home or single-room HDB flats, or the changed lives of youth, PHS students, whom we have invested time and effort in reaching out to and discipling. Thus, children can come in all shapes and sizes. They can be physical children, spiritual children, or even metaphorical children. Now, with the different possible meanings of house, with the importance of the value of children and the responsibilities of parents towards them, with a widened understanding of the word children in verse 3, let's now read verses 1 to 2 with fresh eyes. Unless the Lord builds our children, we who build them labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over our projects, we the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is in vain that we rise up early or go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be it your children, your career, your hopes and dreams, the fruit of your womb, the Lord must be involved in them for them to be worthwhile. How does the Lord build the house? How does God build up your children? How does the Lord watch over the city? How does he guard your hopes and dreams? What does it mean for God to give to his beloved sleep? These are questions we will explore. Old Testament scholar Alan Ross has suggested several criteria that we can use so that we may say that the Lord builds the house. He says, the Lord builds the house if we build our children by faith in the Lord's provision for them. Build our projects in accordance with the Lord's will. Build our homes and dreams in a way that's hopes and dreams in a way that's pleasing to him, that's honest and that's fair. Dedicate them to God's use and purpose, and give glory to him for the accomplishment. Now, at the same time, having the Lord involved as we nurture and disciple our children doesn't mean we won't encounter any problems along the way. Now, two of my cousins backslided and wandered away from the faith when they were young adults. During those long years, whenever I met up with my uncle and aunt, the topic of my cousins would invariably come up. I remember the sadness and sometimes guilt in my aunt's voice as she said, "As I look back, I wonder what went wrong the way I brought up Jonathan and Joshua. What did I do wrong so that now they have backslided and are no longer close to God? Could I have done anything better for them to continue to grow as Christians?" Now, I assured my aunt that my cousins, they are adults. They have their own free will and have to decide on their faith. I know my aunt is a committed Christian. She has done her utmost to bring up my cousins in the Lord. So I assured her that she had done her best. What we can do is trust that God is still at work in their lives, although evidence appears otherwise. We can pray that God will lead my cousins back to Him because He is our shepherd. He is their shepherd too. God loves and cares for them more than we can ever imagine. Praise be to God. After more than 10 years, I think probably close to 15, God has drawn my cousins back to Him. Their faith in the Lord has been renewed. They are worshiping with fellow believers and are growing in their relationship with God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, some of us may have children who have wandered away from the faith. Some of us may feel guilty and wonder what we could have done better. Others may sometimes wonder whether your young children that you have today, will they grow up? As they grow up, will they remain faithful to God? Whether all your efforts are worthwhile as you disciple your children. Psalm 127 assures us that as we build our children in the Lord by faith, in accordance with His will, dedicating our children to the Lord's use and purpose, we can be confident, we can be certain that it will all be worthwhile because it is not us, but the Lord who ensures that our efforts aren't in vain. The road may be bumpy, full of twists and turns, some detours along the way, but the Lord is with us all the way. We can trust that He is at work, building up our children, even when everything seems otherwise. Next, let's consider how the Lord watches over the city, over our children. It may be through us, the watchman, of course. Even though we may stay alert to watch over our children, guard and protect our project zealously, all this would be of little use if God doesn't protect them. Hence, we must recognize that true security comes from not our efforts, but from God. As believers, we can certainly live wisely and cautiously in this world, and this we must do. But we must acknowledge that it is ultimately God alone who protects. Therefore, we must place our trust in the Lord. We should pray to Him for protection, trust in Him for safety, and give Him the glory for daily preservation. Now, some of you may know I'm a running enthusiast. The project I have this year is to complete the marathon in December after a long break of 2 years. If God be willing, under 4 hours. I can see my fellow running mate, come on, smiling. I've suffered a serious Achilles tendon injury, so I couldn't run in the 2019 marathon. Various knee and ankle injuries before. So, before I go for my run, this is my prayer. Lord, grant me safety. Watch over me. Please protect me from injuries. Now, I have poured in months of training since March this year to achieve my goal of finishing the marathon under 4 hours. But, lo and behold, disaster struck a few weeks ago during a training session. I injured my knee while running down a long up and down slope that had many twists and turns. I asked God, why must this happen to me during this crucial phase of my training, especially when the marathon is just 3 months away? Can I recover in time to run the marathon? I also wondered, has the Lord been watching over me, over my running project and dream? And then something else happened. I hurt my back, and I had to see a chiropractor. Now, the chiropractor, Dr. Yap, that I usually consulted, he was overseas, and I had to see another one, Dr. Wong. I was thinking to myself, why must Dr. Yap be away when I needed him? I don't know how good Dr. Wong is, you know. Can she really treat my back problem? Now, Dr. Wong not only treated my back problems, she also assessed my body thoroughly with respect to running. In fact, I had a 1.5-hour consultation with her. She meticulously showed me what was wrong, where I was inflexible, weak, and unbalanced, and how all that actually made me prone to injuries and inefficient running. She showed me the exercises I should do to increase strength, balance, and flexibility. So that in her own words, she told me this: I'm sure you want to run for a long time. Run more efficiently and not suffer any more injuries. Now, I learned from some lessons from how I injured my knee, and I followed her advice. I started strengthening and flexibility exercises conscientiously. I think my wife can tell you that. I also monitored the way I ran. This sped up my recovery and helped me get back to my training stronger and wiser. Now, as I thought back about my knee and back injuries in preparation for this sermon, I realized God had turned something that appeared to be a disaster for good. God indeed heard my prayers for protection and safety. He had been watching over me, not just for the short term, but over the long haul. God knew what I needed to run better, but more importantly, avoid injuries. He has been guarding my body, this little temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, church, our hopes, our dreams, the projects that we undertake, they matter to God. As we pray to Him for protection over them, as we trust Him for safety, we can be confident that God is keeping watch. Problems, obstacles, setbacks we meet along the way doesn't mean God has forsaken us or He has failed to watch over us or our projects. Perhaps God wants to call our attention to certain things to protect us over the long haul. Sometimes, God may want us to reassess our hopes and our dreams. He may want to redirect us to something else He wants us to undertake. Have you noticed God watching over your children? Perhaps you could spend some time to think back. Consider God's mercies, His handprints in your life, in your children's life. Have you thanked God for His protection, for His preservation? Do you hear what God is saying to you as you struggle in the midst of setbacks and obstacles? Now we come to the last part of verse 2, where the psalmist says, it is useless to artificially lengthen the day, rising up early before the sun rises and sleeping late when you hear the owl, to put in more work. Rather, God gives to His beloved sleep. Rising early and sleeping late to lengthen the day isn't wrong. We must remember that our Lord Jesus got up very early to pray when everybody was still sleeping. And God prolonged the day for Joshua in Joshua 10. The sun didn't go down, for the Israelites to gain victory over the Amorites. It is futile to do so only if God isn't in it. The next clause, eating the bread of anxious toil, explains why such artificial lengthening of the day without God is useless. Now, the picture painted is of someone who labors with anxieties and painful toil to be able to eat bread. Now, if the fruit of our labor comes from tiredness, anxiety, extreme stress, and our family members eat of such fruit, it is a life of fear and worry without trusting the Lord. And indeed, such labor is futile. Just imagine with me. You go through each day. You labor over your children with great anxiety and stress. You are always on your toes. You are skipping meals, you are having trouble sleep, and you are not able to rest. What's the result? Physical, mental, and emotional exhaustion, leading to stomach ulcers, gastric pain, high blood pressure, discouragement, even depression. You get what I mean, huh? Such labor is lethal, physically and emotionally. For such anxiety and stress kills not only the body, but also the spirit. On the other hand, God gives sleep to His beloved. Now, the word sleep could refer both to literal sleep, physical rest, or sleep could also represent resting in the security, confidence, and satisfaction of knowing that our lives are in God's hands. As we place our complete trust in the Lord, we may rest assured that God knows our needs. He will provide for them. Agonizing and laboring in fear and anxiety won't get any more work done than what God chooses to give us. The life of faith is a life that rests in God. It may be diligent and industrious, not lazy, but will be free of restless anxieties. Now, preparing for today's sermon has been a learning experience for me. Now, in the build-up to the sermon, due to some misunderstanding and confusion, I had to change the passage and topic of the sermon quite late. In fact, just on Monday. I also had to translate another sermon from Chinese to English for the TTC anniversary Thanksgiving service that took place 2 days ago on Friday. And that sermon script also reached me late on Thursday night. There were various other appointments and meetings I had to attend to. All these things took time away from my sermon preparation. What precious little time I had left. Usually, I would be very anxious. I will be stressed. I will be worried. I'll probably be chattering my teeth while I sleep. But somehow, I felt God directing me towards Psalm 127. God also encouraged me through a fellow preacher who shared that it's important to preach a sermon from life. How the passage has spoken to me. I also experienced God's grace through Reverend Srimal, who excused me from a meeting just yesterday, and through Elder Cheng Kun, who excused me from Friday's cell group meeting. I felt God's presence, peace, and involvement as I tried to give birth to the sermon. The labor took time and effort, but it was certainly worthwhile for me. I learned what it means for God to build, for Him to watch, for Him to labor over my child. Today's sermon, certainly a gift from God. God granted me restfulness as I labored over today's sermon with Him. Church, are you laboring in fear and anxiety all the time? Or perhaps most of the time? Or are you resting in the Lord as you work diligently, conscientiously, in building, watching over your children, as you labor over your hopes, projects, and dreams? Is God involved in your children, whether physical or metaphorical, today? Now, as the pilgrims recite Psalm 127 on their way to Jerusalem, they look up to God who builds the temple and watches over Jerusalem. If the Lord is involved in their lives, they can be confident that He will build, He will watch over, and He will labor to them with them for their children, their hopes, their dreams, their projects in life. Now, in the same way, what we build and keep watch over, what we rise early for and stay up late laboring in our lives only matters if God is a part of it. Children are indeed a building project of life. Children include not just physical children, but as we have mentioned, our hopes, our dreams, the projects that we undertake, the fruit of our womb. If God is part of them, we, as God's beloved, can chill, we can relax, sleep at the end of each industrious day. We can be confident that the Lord, unlike us, He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is building, He is watching over, and He is laboring as we relax and enjoy His gift of sleep. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your beloved. As we build, guard, and labor over our children, our hopes, our dreams, help us discern your presence and will, that we may do them in faith, in dependence upon you, giving glory to you. May we experience rest in you, because we know that you who watch over us, you neither slumber nor sleep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us give glory to God by singing this song together. Can I invite everybody to stand with me? Together.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ.
As one church.
The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, His power is displayed. Through this I hope, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall dread. I know I am forgiven. The future's sure, the price it has been paid. Oh, Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow.
all together as one church.
With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. And to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Christ in me.
When the race is complete,
when the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Please be seated.
Very good morning to you, church. Morning and welcome to the service. We have a friend that we want to welcome, so can you just raise your hand when I call you so that the church can welcome you? All right. Miss May Ann. May, you here with us? Hi, welcome to the church. Do join us for refreshment at the canteen so that you can get to know us.